the future of public media in Maine and beyond. Things are hopping here at Maine Public. In mid-November, our newest classical music station, WBQA, went on the air, serving much of Midcoast Maine. That brings the ever-growing number of Maine Public classical stations to six. On the television side, the first full season of High School Quiz Show Maine begins airing in February after a terrific response to this past season's shortened inaugural run. Maine Public Television also recently launched a 24/7 children's channel. These are just a few of the headlines as this organization works to grow and become even more responsive to the people of Maine. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will talk to the person at the helm of Maine Public, President and CEO Mark Vogelzang. What questions do you have for Mark? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From Maine Public Radio, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. About once or twice a year, we ask the President and CEO of Maine Public to join us to share the latest news from the world of public media. Today, Mark Vogelzang joins me to answer your questions about our radio and television programming, classical music network build-out, and more. Mark was named CEO and President of Maine Public in January 2012. He joins me in the studio.
Hi, Jen.
Hello, Mark.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
I'm so glad. And as always, we'd like to hear from you in the audience. What questions do you have for our CEO? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Mark, I understand you've been doing a lot of driving in Midcoast Maine lately and perhaps fiddling with your radio dial.
I have been listening carefully, like a lot of people who have been fans, listening very carefully for the new classical station that we have been kind of talking about for a long time. But it actually lives right there on Route 1 near Newcastle on one of those big towers as you drive north and south. And it has a great FM signal. And we now have Maine Public Classical on full-time, 24/7. Toby is on, Rich Parker, Rich Tozier is on, and best of all, Robin Rylette on full-time.
So what have you discovered driving around? Where have you been able to have that signal reach to?
Oh, as you've been hearing on the radio, we've had ride reports, people in Farmington.
Really?
Yeah, are hearing the station, which is remarkable. And it reaches all the way up sort of past Thomaston. It reaches Gardner and Halliwell, so Augusta people can hear it. So it's pretty fun to have the classical music on the air, kind of on a very powerful signal.
And let me broaden this out for those of us who have not been following all of this as carefully as perhaps classical music fans and people here in this building. This is part of a bigger effort that about a year, it's more than a year now, right, Mark? A year and a half ago.
Yeah, it's been 2 years.
And the whole idea was to build and accumulate more and more stations. We're up to six classical stations in the network.
And the important point about that, Jen, is really that we're offering listeners and viewers more choice. That is clearly a direction that a lot of media companies, and we're not a media company in that way, but as a public broadcaster, it's important to sort of stay abreast of how much change there is. So actually having a full-time NPR-style news service, news and public affairs programs like Maine Calling, and then this full-time idea of a full-time classical music service that gives listeners choice is really important. And that's what we've been working on.
All right. Well, some other news. Parents of young children are celebrating throughout Maine this year because we now have a PBS Kids channel 24/7, not just programming in the morning on the main station.
And I love the fact that this PBS Kids 24/7 is online as well as being a free over-the-air TV station. And a lot, interestingly enough, those of us who these preschool years are very important educationally. Anybody who knows about education, early childhood education is really important. And having, especially in houses that are some households that are at risk, knowing that there is a safe alternative for little kids to be watching TV more than just during the daytime, but sometimes at night when they watch a lot of TV and that can be difficult or violent, to be able to have a safe harbor for little kids. Middle of the night when your little one is sick or a grandchild is ill, getting up and be able to watch PBS Kids is such a great thing on all of our channels across the state, from north to south.
And the reason we're able to do that is that, you know, we have more channels than we used to. With the advent of digital television, people who maybe have always had cable television or satellite television don't realize that now over the air there are multiple stations. And one of those four is now PBS Kids.
Yeah, and for those of you who are cord cutters, this is a really good thing because Maine Public Television now offers not only our primary HD channel, but a channel called World and a channel called Create, with everything from cooking to woodworking and travel, to this fourth channel, which is PBS Kids. And everyone can receive it free over the air. So if you don't have cable television or want to change, with a simple antenna, you should be able to get one of our signals.
So we've been talking about things that have happened this past year. What about next year? What can we expect, Maine Public Television, Maine Public Radio?
Well, we have a tremendous, we've just on the TV side, let me just stay there for a minute, and thinking about Vietnam, Jen, we've all seen how powerful Vietnam has been in the conversations in October, September, October, and even now as we're repeating the series. PBS certainly has made a mark with this 10-part, 18-hour documentary of Ken Burns, the Vietnam War. Coming up soon is a Victoria, second season of Victoria. I love Finding Your Roots with Skip Gates. I think that's a great show. And also there's going to be a new spring thing this year on reading the top 100 books. And listeners across, viewers across the country are going to be able to vote on their favorite books that we've read. And you know, library conversations that you've had, everybody loves to talk about favorite books. So that's on PBS this spring.
And High School Quiz Show Maine is coming back.
Yes. Shannon Moss is our host. It is it's one of those things. We did a pilot season last year, so maybe you missed it, but it has been fun. It's sort of the companion version of high school basketball for girls and boys. We have teams from across the state who are focused on, you know, a full season. The thousands of households tuned in to see kids ask and being asked and answer very difficult questions. Shannon Moss is the host. They're kind of nerdy, kind of geeky, but it's fun on the academic side.
And so last year was sort of a half season, and this year there'll be more teams, a longer, and I believe we're going to begin airing that in February.
Yeah, it'll start this early, late winter. And the cool thing is we're actually doing this in conjunction with the state broadcasters in New Hampshire and soon in Rhode Island and also in Massachusetts at WGBH. So our Maine kids will be in sort of a Governor's Cup competition with the winners of New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island. So we'll see how Maine kids perform.
We're talking with CEO Mark Vogelzang, Maine Public CEO Mark Vogelzang. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Mark, I have to ask you about something that's, you know, just very discouraging with everything that surfaced nationally about the sexual abuse and harassment allegations of public figures. Some of those public figures are in the world of public media.
Right.
Charlie Rose is now off the air. And then some executive, especially one executive, but a couple executives at NPR tainted. I'm wondering what your reaction to this news is.
Well, it is disturbing. You're absolutely right, and they've been accused and have acknowledged that they use their positions of power to coerce female subordinates in the past, and they've been fired. As you said, the person at NPR is somebody who I know, who is the head of news, Mike Oreskes. Now he's gone. We cannot tolerate that behavior, and the work to eliminate sexual harassment in the workplace and in society is not over. Clearly. But this is a positive step in that people who have been intimidated or silenced for this abusive behavior that was toward them, they've come forward and it's come out about this kind of abuse. The reaction has been remarkable as well. And I think a lot of us have been interested to see how quickly things have happened here. And mm-hmm. But it'll be interesting also to see how it plays out. But yes, Charlie Rose Gone, the repeat, for those who are interested in it, there's a repeat. We place the repeat of NewsHour now at 11 o'clock at night instead of where Charlie mm-hmm. Rose was. And mm-hmm. then at 4:30, if you ever used to watch the TV show at 4:30 to 5:30, now we've got a strip of PBS evening programs on at 4:30.
Mark, you mentioned you knew Michael Oreskes. You know Michael Oreskes. All of us feel like we know Charlie Rose. Were you as surprised as so many of us were?
Absolutely. Absolutely surprised.
I mean, I think in public media, we think of holding ourselves higher than...
And it's to
a really high standard.
It is a democratic small d kind of effort that public broadcasting has always prided itself on, a very collegial work environment. Many women in authority at NPR, think about all the women hosts who have been on the air for years and years and years, generations, and women leaders who have been the news director at NPR, many of whom I know and admire. And now this happens. So it's just very demoralizing and disquieting that this sort of in our own house is happening. So, yes. But obviously, everybody's got to be vigilant and observant.
Mark, you've worked in public media for a long time and in a long time in a position where you're have some white knuckles because some funding is being threatened. And so I have to ask, what is the sort of general scenario, not only here in Maine, but also nationally, for public media? Is funding being threatened? And then also, how are we doing here in Maine?
Yes, public federal funding makes up about 10 or 12% of our annual budget. So it's important. It's crucial. There's also state funding in the picture. And we knew under the Trump administration there would be an effort to decrease that. And in fact, what happened is they came out and in their budget, the Trump administration turned out to zero out federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is that. But they wanted to defund many institutions like the National Endowment for the Humanities, with, you know, recent chair is Bro Adams, formerly of a longstanding Colby president, a Mainer. But the good news is that Congress, in a bipartisan way, has basically said, no way. We like public broadcasting. And in the FY18 federal budget, the Senate side, at least, Pat Leahy of New England here in Vermont, up in Vermont, Roy Blunt of Mississippi, Thad Cochran of Missouri, Thad Cochran of Mississippi, sorry, have come together and said, we want to make sure federal funding is stable. So they've funded it at a level funding, which is really good news. We'll see exactly how it plays out next month. But I think it's a reflection of this kind of bipartisan effort. And Angus King said this to us, that, you know, a lot of members of Congress listen to Morning Edition when they go into work, Republicans and Democrats. And in the evening when they go home, they count on the NewsHour from PBS and they watch it in their homes. So they know, and they've said to everybody, how the civil dialogue is important to them on public broadcasting. So I think the funding is in okay shape.
So, Mark, I'm going to give you an opportunity to brag a little bit about our listeners and viewers. I understand that Maine Public has among the PBS NPR system some kudos. We have, I mean, I don't want to steal the thunder, but don't we have more members per capita than just about any other state in the nation?
So there's two key metrics, Jen, that we really do look at. One is, obviously, yes, you've been paying attention, which is good. I know you do that. Members and contributors by household is something we look at very carefully, because that's kind of a metric of how we're doing. And it's remarkable. We have more members and contributors than we've ever had in our history. 48,000 households contributing annually to Maine Public, which is great. And you hear us talk about it during TV Pledge, which has just started, and Radio Pledge, which is just over. But the other piece is that that's a reflection of the audience that's tuned in to radio and television. And it was, you know, we just made this change in the dividing the two radio networks, one classical, one news service. But that has led, and I think the interest in the news cycle has led, to something in an increase of like 24% year over year in our radio audience. And that's also our highest audience in our history. So something like 250,000 people tuned into either a Maine Public classical signal or a Maine Public Radio signal. Isn't that remarkable?
It really is. Tell me if you agree with this. I think it's part of this state has engaged citizens. I think it's related to the fact that Maine and Minnesota often go back and forth for the highest number of people voting in a presidential election. The same people who are voting are listening, and not just listening to Maine Public Radio or watching Maine Public Television, but becoming members and being a part. It's my theory. I don't know. I've never seen a study on that.
It has to do with civic engagement. Absolutely, it has to do with having a well-educated group of people, and Maine has always sort of led the nation in those ways. Elected good people and cares about the issues. So I think that's one of the things that a place like Portland and Bangor and then every small town has people who care about listening and staying informed. So it's very good. It's just very heartwarming and gratifying. So thanks for asking about it.
I know that we have a plan for this organization, and part of it has to do with even more journalism. Tell me about that, Mark.
Yeah, the journalism. Well, we've been working on this quietly for the last several years. We talk about it during fundraisers, but I know that sometimes when we're blabbing during pledge drives, it sort of just is noise. But there is we've made really great progress in what's been called a Charting a Bold Future capital campaign. It's a comprehensive campaign that we've been trying to raise money collectively over the last 4 years. $30 million was our goal. We raised $35 million, Jen. And those dollars have helped us build the Classical Music Network. So we talked about that. But also expand programs like Maine Calling. It wasn't that long ago that Maine Calling was on a couple of days a week, and then 3 days, then 4 days, and now 5 days a week. So it's helped us expand our digital presence. It's helped us expand our radio reporting. We've added an education beat. Robbie Feinberg, one of our reporters in that area. You're seeing our reporting and our content show up on our digital side. That's the other piece that we've really been focusing on. So journalism, digital, and classical music. So lots going on. Yes, thanks.
We do have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to your comments and questions. Our guest today, Maine Public President and CEO Mark Vogelzang. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Maine Audubon, a community of people who understand that when Maine's wildlife thrives, Maine thrives. Learn more at maineaudubon.org.
In cities and towns across the country, people are protesting refugees being resettled in their neighborhoods.
It went from being a kind of run-of-the-mill, like, maybe not here, to these Muslims are going to take over our neighborhood and ruin Poughkeepsie.
I'm Kelly McEvers. The heated and often ugly debate over refugee resettlement this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening. Many businesses and organizations in and around Maine join listeners in supporting various public radio programs on Maine Public Radio. You hear their mentions every day. To learn how your business can benefit from supporting Maine Public Radio and Classical, Maine Public Television, or mainepublic.org, visit our website, mainepublic.org. Click on About and then Business Support, or you can call us at 1-800-884-1717 and ask for Susan Tran. And of course, thank you for your support of public broadcasting here in Maine.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Mark Vogelzang, the president and CEO of Maine Public, is here with me. We invite you to join the conversation. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We will start with a couple related emails, one from Veronica. She says, happy to hear Maine Classical is growing, hoping to hear it soon in southwestern York County, in my car for work all day, and sure do miss it. And Suzanne in Saco writes, when will Maine Public Classical be available in York County? It's the second most populous county in the state, and we aren't able to listen in. I know it's available online and on HD radio, but I want to listen in my car. I'm very disappointed it is taking so long. Mark?
Yeah, we're disappointed too. We feel your pain, but of course it's not as difficult. It's real in your case when you're saying, here I am in southwestern Southern York County or just driving around, spending a lot of the day in the car, and I want a choice of having classical music. So the answer is we are working on it as hard as we can. I know this was very familiar to the folks in Brunswick and Booth Bay and the Mid-Coast. But it's, we think what we have to do is, radio stations and frequencies over the air are hard to find. They're owned by private businesses, the big networks of who own radio stations, and also some nonprofits, religious organizations. So between those two, we have to find somebody who is both willing to sell and that has a frequency that is that works for us. You can't just sort of build a new house.
Right. You can't just have a new frequency.
No.
That the FCC doesn't allow that.
Put up a tower and say, we're good. No, it doesn't work that way. 30 years ago, it did. It was that easy to be able to get a frequency and find an open frequency when the band was not as crowded. But today it's very full. And so patience is a virtue here. We're sorry that it's taken this long, but we're going to keep working at it.
And you're trying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was just tuning in to several potential stations the other day.
Good.
It might work for us.
So we're going to go to Ben calling from Brooksville. Hi, Ben. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Jennifer. Hi, Mark.
Hi.
You know, I'm a longtime NPR listener and supporter. I've given every year practically, but not since 2016 and during the primary season. I was so disillusioned and sort of hurt on a personal level by what I considered to be an imbalanced reporting of the Democratic primaries. And, you know, I found myself pulling my car over and just sitting there shaking my head, feeling sort of betrayed because we rely on NPR so heavily for balanced reporting. And, you know, in general, I would say there is good balanced reporting around world news in particular, but the chips were down in 2016. It felt like NPR, along with all the other mainstream media outlets, sort of were just being handed talking points and having sort of canned conversations with, mm-hmm. the candidates, representatives. And it just didn't feel right to me. And it left me with a very bad taste in my mouth. And I know I'm not alone. And I was hoping you could answer this question. How can NPR now sort of work to regain my trust in that type of political reporting?
We need to do a better job. Absolutely. I think there were plenty of things that behind the scenes, the news teams that covered the 2016 elections wish we had done differently all across the country, in local races and in national races, here in Maine and at NPR and at PBS. It's not a perfect world. I hope you'll keep listening and keep being a critical ear toward what you're hearing on the radio. We've got another chance in the 2018 and the run-ups to the primaries and the election next year. I think you're hearing more voices and a diversity of voices on Morning Edition now than you might not have heard 2 years ago. At least that's my sense. And to earn your trust back, we're just going to keep working at it. We've added some staffers on the news side, so we're going to continue to grow our reporting capacity, and we want to be out in the field more and better and talk and listen. More importantly than talking, we want to listen more. This program will have more folks who will be sitting around this table, and Jen will be asking them, and you'll be listening to them in these conversations.
And Ben, if I'm not mistaken, you're talking about the presidential race, correct?
No, I was actually talking about the Democratic primaries.
The Democratic, but the national news there. Mark, do you know what kind of conversations are going on in Washington in the NPR newsroom about covering politics?
Yeah, I think it's just what I just said, that there is a renewed attempt for us from at every program level, whether it's Morning Edition or All Things Considered at the news leadership level, and at the host and reporting level on the regional news editor side, to say we need to have different conversations with Americans and local folks about their, so we know what's going on and we don't miss it like we did in 2016.
Ben, thank you very much. We have an email from Michael. As a diehard over-the-air public television and radio listener, I'm beginning to think I see the handwriting on the wall that Maine Public, and maybe all broadcasters, will stop over-the-air broadcasting in the not-too-distant future in favor of internet broadcasting. What does Mark think or know about this?
It is a great question, and there's no doubt that more and more listening is done online. We have amazing devices in our pocket. They're not the transistor radios of years ago. They're smart, incredible devices that stream audio from any source. So, yes, you're seeing it on the national level, when you see surveys over how radio usage is happening and television usage, it's more and more streaming. So that's unquestionably. But at the same time, let me just say, radio and television broadcast are still powerful mediums to reach huge numbers of people that individually might not have access to online data or mobile data or Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi or low-cost Wi-Fi. So it's a tremendously powerful way to reach people inexpensively through a cheap device called a television or a radio. So I don't think the handwriting is on the wall. I think that radio towers and television broadcast towers are going to transition, but it's going to take a longer time than we think. And I think they're going to, demonstration of the audience is probably 80 to 90% of all of our listening still is done over the air in cars and at home on radios.
We'll go to John calling from Freeport. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hi. Yes. Good afternoon. I listen to MPBN radio and television most all of the time, my choice. But one thing I really enjoy is, because many times I can't listen to a program, are the podcasts, like for Maine Calling and then also This Day in Maine for the news. But I really like the local news more than the national. Yep. And wondering, do you have more, is Morning Edition, is there a podcast for that, or are there any other plans for more podcasts like you do?
There is not, but it would be, so what you're asking for is essentially a compilation of everything that Irwin does in the morning or Nora does in the afternoon or we report on during the day that we'd be in one simple place to get on your online. Is that what you're asking?
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. We don't have that yet, but that's a great advice. I mean, that's a great suggestion because some of it sits on our website at mainpublic.org. So you can actually go back and listen to every single story that we do. So if Steve Missler does a story or Patty White does a story or Irwin reports on something, it's there. And so is Maine Calling, right, Jen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's there, but it may not be aggregated the same way that you'd like to see it, I think, yeah. So,
because, many times I'm where there's not Wi-Fi, so I can't get it. So I download the podcast, and then I can listen to them whether, I have internet at that point or where I'm at that point in time. I can listen to it, some other time. Like when I'm at camp, I have no Wi-Fi. I can go to the library. I can download the podcast and listen to them later on during the day.
There's no question that while that digital access and podcasts give us more flexibility, it's also more complicated. You've just explained it. Like, how do I access all these bits and pieces of it? So we're going to continue to work on it. One thing, simple thing is on radio, we have always repeated programs. So Maine Calling, this show, will be rebroadcast at 8 o'clock every night during the weeknights. That's a convenience that we do for folks who don't want to podcast it or
else. And they live in the archive too. I can talk to you about Maine Calling. You can watch a program from 3 months ago or a year ago, or listen, I should say, on the internet. John, thanks for listening and thanks for calling. I'm going to go to Will calling from Brunswick. Hi, Will. Go ahead.
Hello there. Good afternoon. First, I want to say, Mark, to you, how impressed we are with your leadership. You're just a really sharp character, and that's just what we need at this point in time. And so thank you for that.
You're welcome. It's important stuff we're doing here.
Well, absolutely. And you seem to be coping pretty well. Thanks. My question is, generally speaking, about budgeting. And specifically, are there any limits to the sort of fundraising hours that you plan into your program? You mentioned just now that we were getting done with a radio fundraising and beginning a TV fundraising. And I have to tell you very honestly that as longtime supporters, we really dislike it all. And we have more and more trouble every year accepting it as a necessary evil of putting your system on the air. It leads us to two things. Again, wondering about whether there's you know, as we watch this fundraising, we tend to say things like, gee, do they need to buy all those fancy programs that are so costly? Maybe they should economize a little bit and they wouldn't have to have so much fundraising. And, of course, to our ultimate dream, which is that we would have some kind of a special code. We're Evergreen Friends ourselves, and we could input this special code and go to a secondary channel that had no fundraising.
Mm, yeah, I think that is an ultimate direction that we're heading. Because obviously, if you're supporting us regularly, yeah, you should be able to have access to content that is that doesn't have to worry about if I've already contributed. I'm good. You know, you don't need to watch or suffer through. Did I say suffer through? No, I didn't mean it that
I'm
way.
I'm pretending like you didn't. And Mark, it actually is less than it used to be, isn't it? Not just with the one-day pledge drives on radio, but we've reduced the footprint on television as well. So we're heading in the direction you want us to, well, but clearly not as quickly as you would like us to.
Will, I would say that there is a – we care very carefully – we look very carefully at how much of that pledge we're doing during pledge breaks. It's still a very important piece of the fundraising mix for both new viewers and supporters who contribute. The programs are part of a whole package, so it may seem like a costly program, but when we share that national content among ourselves, it's not that much more expensive. But it's a way of drawing in new viewers. So if you think about it as a way of helping other people get introduced to the idea of supporting public broadcasting, that may be a little more palatable. I don't have the right solution, but I can tell you that at every level of PBS and every station manager I know in the system, we all talk about this, how to make it better experience for folks like you.
Well, thanks for your call.
Yeah.
We'll go to South Portland and Tim. Hi, Tim. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling about television reception in the greater Portland area. I have lived in a couple of different places here over the last 15 or 20 years, and neither of which could I get rabbit ear type reception or even a more exorbitant type of antenna, anything short of a rooftop. And so what I'm forced to do is get cable TV, which is $20 to $25 a month. I would very gladly pledge that $25 a month to your services if I could get television reception. And I'm wondering if anything is ever going to be done about this. I understand that the transmitter, I think, is in Monmouth.
There's another one in
Biddeford.
Yeah, the actual location is Sanford, is where our Southern Maine WMEA television, and that's a lower power UHF station, and then our full power WCBB station, Channel 10, is in Litchfield. Is actually where it's located. And the city of license for that station is Augusta. So it was sort of killing two birds with one stone. You get Augusta and Portland with an over-the-air signal in the old days of analog television, and then the university system built WMEA in from the south to kill two birds with one stone, catch Portland and also York County. So where you are and also where I am in that part of this city, it's hard to get good over-the-air signal reception. It's very hard. I can tell you one thing is we are going to apply to the FCC to there's a window where we can actually expand our power for the broadcast side of the TV stations, both WCBB and WMEA. So I've seen a map where WMEA will be improved. It's what they call city grade contour over the city of Greater Portland. So it should help you. That may be a year or two away, but if you've been patient for this long, I really think that might help you. So thank you for the suggestion.
And Tim, you're not the only one. We also have an email from Dan in North Deering in Portland who would like to be able to get us over the air. So thank you for calling and raising that question. Go ahead, Mark.
Just one quick thing. Whatever you do, if you're looking for an over-the-air signal for TV, the higher you are, the better. If you can put the old-fashioned television antenna on top of your roof or in your attic or on top of some structure somehow, physics, the law of physics still is at work. The higher you are and the bigger the antenna you have, the better. And big channel master antennas aren't that expensive.
All right, Tim, thank you so much. We do have to take another quick break, but before we do, a word about tomorrow's program. We are going to be talking about getting your home ready for winter. Email your questions to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet us, or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Evergreen Home Performance, offering energy-efficient windows and insulation to help homeowners achieve year-round comfort. More at evergreenyourhome.com. Today is Giving Tuesday. Following Black Friday and Cyber Monday, Giving Tuesday kicks off the charitable season, when many focus on their holiday and end-of-year giving. Giving Tuesday has inspired giving around the world, resulting in greater donations, volunteer hours, and activities that bring about real change in communities. We invite you to join the movement. And if you value the services that Maine Public provides via television, radio, and online, make a gift of support on this special day at mainepublic.org. Thanks. Join us at 2 o'clock following Maine Calling for the Commonwealth Club of California. Today's guest is Anne Marie Slaughter, former Director of Policy Planning at the State Department under Secretary Hillary Clinton. She's currently the President and CEO of the nonpartisan think tank New America. That's the Commonwealth Club of California coming up at 2 o'clock following Maine Calling here on Maine Public Radio.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You are listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Mark Vogelzang, the president and CEO of Maine Public, is here in the studio with me. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. Mark Skip sends an email that says, I know it's been a while, but I absolutely love the big programming schedule change you made. Thank you. And Veronica loves one-day pledge fundraising so much better than other states' 10 days. Here's a question I'm not sure at this point we have an answer for, but I'll read it. This is from Mike. With 20-plus gubernatorial candidates competing for the Blaine House, plus all the other races, how comprehensive will Maine Public election coverage be next year? My answer will be, we are going to try our darndest.
Yeah, and actually, we've just outlined a plan for it. This idea of having conversations with every single candidate is a challenge. But first of all, we've got things that we didn't have a few years ago. We've got a program like Maine Calling that's here. We have more space during our daytime hours to produce and bring on conversations with candidates. And we have our digital assets. So we're going to build, the plan is for us to build a digital page where people can learn about and hear from each candidate as we go along. And there are a lot of them, as you point out. So it's going to be a challenge this year, especially for the primaries in certain categories. Gubernatorial race, boy, oh boy, it's going to be a challenge.
We're going to go to Richard in Sebago Lake. Hi, Richard. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Hey, first of all, I've just got to tell you how much I love your style of questioning. I consider myself a smart guy, and I'm always so impressed with what you come up with to ask for questions. A quick little anecdote.
I'm a fan of Jennifer's, too, by the way.
Thank you, guys.
Well, I think nationally she's becoming more popular as well. My wife watches a lot of television. I'm on the road, so I listen to radio most of the time. We cut the cord a few years back, and she was complaining one day how she couldn't get Downton Abbey and, you know, some of the other past programming that's available and over the internet. And she said one day, she said, you know, for $5 a month, we can get Passport. And I said, we've been Evergreen members for years. And that evening, I figured out how to hook her up on that.
Good for you. That's great.
Oh, it was great for her. My complaint, I drive all over the state, and usually right in the middle of Maine Calling, I'm getting up towards Rumford, and I can't get the signal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Any plans on expansion up in that area?
Yes. So you're talking about, we've been focusing on spending a lot of effort and time to find signals for classical, but you're right. There are sections of the state where, and you called it out perfectly, Rumford, you know, the ski areas further north, Sugarloaf is very tough to get, the western mountains, nothing in Jackman. So that's an area in the mountains, especially in western Maine, and we have just had a hard time getting a signal. So I don't have a solution or an answer for you yet, but thank you for putting it putting it out there that that's there are still areas of the state that don't have good radio news reception. So you make a good point, Richard.
It's a lot easier for flat states to do a statewide broadcasting network, isn't it, Mark?
or if you're on an island, it's very nice to be able to get the signal across the water.
Oh, thanks for calling, Mark, and thanks for being a listener.
Yeah, and supporter.
We have an email from Criso. Will you please broadcast high school quiz show on the radio? This would be great fun to listen to, as we used to with programs like My Word and Says You.
That's cool. That's a great idea. We hadn't thought about that. I know that some in the, of course, these quiz bowls, these college bowls, have started out their life in the early time. Probably they were on radio in the early days, weren't they? So could we broadcast High School Quiz Show on the radio? I'm asking myself and our team that question right now. Okay, good question. We'll see where that goes.
Sarah's email says, why does Maine Public Classical have news updates? I noticed this the other day because I had tuned into Maine Public Classical, specifically because there were young children in the room and I wanted to avoid the news. Could the news stay over on Maine Public?
That's a very good possibility. Everybody's always trying to figure out what the right balance of news. I mean, what listeners have told us so far, and the research says, is that it's nice to be able to stay in touch with to at least know that everything's okay with the world, or in this case, maybe, you know, you can just touch in on what's happening in the world and then go back to your music. But if you're saying that it's too much or it's too often, I think we do it 3-4 times a day where we do a newscast on our classical music channel. That's good feedback. So good advice.
Okay, we're going to go to West Farmington and Jim. Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Hello there, Jennifer. Hello there, Mark Vogelsang.
Hi, Jim.
All right. May 9th, 2016, you changed your analog signal to a digital signal. Subsequently, you cannot get any classical music programming or anything from down memory lane in the Farmington area. As a previous caller stated, and you yourself, Mr. Vogelsang, also said that we do not live in a perfect world. I know that, but of the 5 to 6 times that I have contacted either your office or your station, no one fails to acknowledge my phone call. Subsequently, no one acknowledges that there's even a problem, even one that Maine Public Broadcasting is even aware of.
Okay, Jim, thanks for calling in. I find that a little surprising. I know our engineering staff often...
We do, and our membership as well. So let me do two things. One is... here's my email address. So this is not just for you, Jim, but for everybody. My email address is mvogelsang@mainpublic.org. So you can write to me questions, comments, if you think I didn't get it right or you want to follow up on something. mvogelsang@mainpublic.org. On the Farmington question, Jim, you should try out 96.7. We have had listener reports saying that they can now hear our newest classical station and Down Memory Lane on Fridays on the new classical station on 96.7 as far north as Farmington. I don't know if that's true for exactly where you are, but we heard people in Madison say that they could hear us. We've heard from people in Brookville. So, yes, it is. It's possible that in Farmington, you might be able to hear it. I know they can hear it in Mount Vernon. I know that we got a report in Chesterville the other day that somebody was able to hear it. So try it out, 96.7 in Farmington. And I apologize if we didn't treat you right when it came to our customer service or as a supporter listener. That's wrong. We did go to analog. We did move from analog to digital for the classical. We put classical music on our HD channel. But it's still an analog FM signal that is 96.7. That's an analog FM signal.
All right, Jim. Thanks for your call. Karen on Facebook writes, will Maine Public ever add live streaming? Where I live in rural Maine, there is no access to cable. It would require an 84-foot tower for an antenna. I'm an Evergreen member is live streaming available through that. I watched through that, but the site stalls. Also, my internet is not very fast, especially in the evening. I'm pretty certain she's talking about television because she uses the word watch. PBS Passport, which is fantastic, is not live streaming. So are there any discussions about that going on, Mark, that you know of?
I just don't know the answer. I'm going to have to research that of what the discussions. It obviously, for all of our content, it means that when you have something that's live streamed, that's a digital product that is not, the rights to that is often very complicated. We've gotten rights for television broadcast in real time or even a repeat of a broadcast, but live streaming is a very different animal, and some networks are doing it, but not all the networks are doing live streaming. Sports events are live streamed sometimes by ESPN or Fox, or CBS, but some others just aren't. So it all has to do with the rights. I'll check that out. That's a good question.
All right. Laura on Facebook writes, major kudos to Mark for tremendous leadership over the past 6 years. I'm a lifelong PBS NPR junkie, and I'm proud to live in a state where there is such strong engagement and support. Thank you,
nice.
Laura.
Thank you. We appreciate that. That's really nice.
We'll go to Little Deer Isle and Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks very much for taking my call. Thank you, Mark, for all the innovation you've been doing. I appreciated the changes in the last few years that you've been working on them. I'm just a little nostalgic for the full half hour of Main Things Considered in the evening and would like to suggest that the last 10 minutes of the hour on the NPR news tend to be kind of fluffy comparatively. So, and so if you could expand, I know you're doing more reporting and you're thinking of expanding that. Spreading it out is good, but having it in a concentrated place to listen at a concentrated time is also very good for some of us. And my second point, and then I'll stop, is that there are a number of bills proposed in Congress, I'm thinking of the health care bills and the tax bills and so on, that would affect Mainers tremendously. And I'm wondering if, as informed citizens, we couldn't get more investigative reporting on that on your station.
Yeah. The answer to your second question is absolutely. We want to do more. I think there's room for us to do more. And I think our ambition is for us to add to the investigative reporting that we're doing. And I said we've done some hiring. We brought on some more digital. We're bringing on a digital editor. We're bringing on a producer. We're adding a senior editor. So there's more happening on the news side. As far as a full half hour of Main Things Considered, we've been gradually moving to put more content on the radio side in across the schedule. So you're hearing more of it in Morning Edition. You're hearing it in the midday show with Ed Morin. You're also hearing it throughout the afternoon with Nora Flaherty. So it's less concentrated, and I know that's what you'd like to hear, but I think our audiences has been telling us they appreciate it if they can hear, instead of just a single chunk of time, they like to hear it in different parts of the day.
Well, I guess different listeners have different
yeah.
habits. Some folks listen all the time in the background, and my preference is to get it in one concentrated chunk and then go off to supper or something like that.
Jeff, are you in Deer Isle in Stonington?
Not in Stonington.
Oh, you're in Little Deer. Okay, that's closer to and closer to the mainland there in Blue Hill. Can you get the classical music station there out of 93.7, or are you mostly a news guy?
I get them both, and the 93.7 comes through pretty well.
Oh, good.
Pretty darn well, yeah.
Okay, that's good feedback.
I can even get 96.7, although it's not the clearest signal.
That's very good.
I can get it.
On Little Deer Isle, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff, for your call. I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call before we're out of time. I'm going to go to Bert in Milford. Hi, Bert. Go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon, Mark and Jen. I've been listening and watching public broadcasting since the 60s through Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and now up here in Maine. And we really like the TV programming The problem we have is with the program guide that it only lists like the world and the create channels what's on in the evening.
Yep.
And you mentioned repeating the radio broadcasts, which we frequently like to do. We can't see a show, we'd like to see it again, but the program guide doesn't list 24 hours.
No, it does not. And that was one of the compromises we made this year when we changed the format a little bit. We tried to, because we have all these channels now, World, Create, the full evening primetime schedule, so it doesn't list 24 hours, and that's the challenge. What we'd ideally love to have you do is to be able to look online and do that easily, but of course that's not as convenient as having a magazine right there next to your chair next watching television. So,
well, the problem is the best internet we can get is a 28K dial-up.
Oh,
so that makes internet just ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
And also your the on-screen programming guide, the electronic guide, half the time it's not there. Oh. It either says not available or no information given, particularly on the Create and World channels.
I will.
We can't even use that to see what's on.
Let me investigate that. And will you write me a note about this, Bert, because it would be helpful. My email is mvogelzang@mainpublic.org.
And Bert, he's been taking notes as you've been as you've been talking. So thank you for that tip. We are almost out of time. And Mark, I know you wanted to repeat your email address, and I will spell Vogelzang for those of the people in the audience who don't know. Mvogelzang, VOGELZANG. At mainpublic.org. You can also, of course, find that on the Maine Public website.
It's there. Lots of good things. You know, this is an important institution for so many people, as you've heard, Jennifer. And I am appreciative of the fact that so many folks have called in. I know that we couldn't get to all the calls today. But this idea of a free democracy where public media and journalism and ideas are connecting dots, and we're having conversations about the civic engagement that we have, that's an important part of what we do, and we take that responsibility very seriously. We think there's a great legacy here in public broadcasting in Maine. You know, we've been at it for 50-plus years. Jennifer, you know, the bicentennial is coming up in
Maine's bicentennial.
Bicentennial.
2020.
And we are working on some programming ideas for the bicentennial, thanks to Jennifer Rooks. So we're working on this, and if you have ideas about the bicentennial, let us know. It's a few years off, we know, but this is a good time to start talking about it. So it's been fun, Jennifer.
It's been fun. Thank you, Mark, for coming in.
Yep.
We'll grab you again in about 6 months. Mark Vogelzang, the president and CEO of Maine Public. John Keimel ran the board today. Past editions of Maine Calling, as well as a link to our archives, can be found at mainecalling.org. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, getting your home ready for winter. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.